Are you ready? Are you ready planning, preparing, putting things together, putting the Christmas decorations up, planning for family to come on out, planning and preparing your home and indeed your heart for Christmas this year? Some of you are ready. Some of you are ready. I bet in amongst that planning, in amongst that preparing, in and amongst that preparing, there is a memory that you have. There is something about a Christmas gone by, a Christmas past, where all of a sudden there's that word that somebody says, like, oh, that reminds me of a Christmas in 1988. Oh, there's a decoration that falls out the box that you've forgotten about, and you open it and you remember, oh yeah, remember that, and you stop in your tracks for a moment away from the chaos, and you, oh, I remember that. Or maybe there's a song that you always remember, like, you know that song, I don't want a lot for Christmas. No, it's not that one, just kidding. I'm Keith Harcombe. I haven't met you yet. I'd love to in the lobby. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. We're in our second week of our series, The Redemption of Scrooge. And this is a reflection of the classic tale, A Christmas Carol, originally written by Charles Dickens. And there has been lots of different versions of this tale, and we talked about them a little last week when we referenced Scrooge and his kind of miserly, miserable, mean attitude, especially around the Christmas time. And we said together, bah humbug. This week, we're talking about what Jacob Marley told us about, and those three ghosts that Jacob said he was going to be visited by. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. Of course, this is the season when we remember Advent, as our worship has prepared you for this morning. And Advent is also about looking to the past, what happened. A young teenage girl had a baby with her betrothed husband, and he adopted this child. We look back at that day that happened in Bethlehem. We also celebrate Christ's presence in our life right now on this very day. And in Advent time, we relive that, we rekindle that, and we say, oh, how good it is to be in Christ. Amen? And we look forward to the future. On the last day, when Christ will come and return the earth to heaven, and he will come back and judge the living and the dead. And that's what Advent is all about. So what of Christmas past? What of Christmases long ago? What do you remember about your past? Is it a good memory? Is it a lovely memory? Is it a memory that stirs your heart? Is it something that your family said to you? Or is it a sad memory? Is there something inside your head that you just can't get out? That every time, every year, on the 3rd of December, you remember this one thing and you just can't forget it. The ghost of Christmas past reminds Scrooge of his past. Reminds him of a fun event. And this week, we're going to look at Disney's rendition again, as we look at the ghost of Christmas past. Please pay attention to your screen. Scrooge had some great memories. He had a wonderful memory of his old employer, Fezziwig. He remembered him fondly. In fact, another rendition of the tale, him and his co-worker are just running around. They're just so excited to get a job with Fezziwig. In and amongst that happy memory is one of sadness. It's the pain of how he treated this young woman. It was someone he fell in love with, somebody that he was possibly going to marry. And the love of money, the love of gold, the love of success destroyed his life and indeed her life. Ironically, what we talked about last week, Scrooge reaped what he sowed. What he sowed in the relationship with his girlfriend, it was now reaped in a broken heart. What is it that you've done in your past that you remember that you wish you didn't remember? What is it when people say your name, they remember that about you? When they remember your last name, when you hear the last name or where you were in school or whatever it is, however that memory, how far that memory goes back. I visited England a while back, and I hadn't been for a while, and I went back. It was about 10 years ago, and I bumped into a friend of mine who we were in kindergarten together. That's how far back we went. And the first thing he said to me, "Keith, hey, it's good to see you, but remember that bike you had? Remember that bike you had that folded in the middle, and everybody called it a unisex bike? Yeah, that bike was rubbish." That's the first thing you remember. I got embarrassed of the bike that I had. I was like, no way, why do you remember that? No. Joking aside, what is it that people remember about you that you wish they didn't? What's in your past that you wish would just poof away like a Disney rendition of Christmas Carol? Somebody who suffered a lot of ghosts was the Apostle Paul. Paul spent most of his time, most of his second life in Christ, dispelling what he once was before. In our scripture that Jacob Marley read for you today, it talks about how Paul was somebody completely different than he was now. And in Galatians, it shows us who this person was. And if you've got your Bibles with you, open it to Galatians. It's in the second half of the Bible. We're going to display it for you here. If you want to take some notes, now's the time to do that. And he says in verse 13, "You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it, and I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the tradition of my ancestors." Paul knew his past. Paul knew what his name was. In fact, his name was Saul originally, and he spent 14 years changing it to the Roman name, Paul. Please remember this name and not that name. He says, "You know what I was like. I was destroying people of the way." And then he says, "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles." Paul resonates with the scripture that he knew so well, that all of the other Jews that were hearing him knew so well. It's Psalm 139. "You know me. You, before I was born, you knew me in my mother's womb. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You know my innermost being." Paul now knows this text far better than he ever realized. He says, "Now I've been given a second chance. I didn't go to Jerusalem," he says, "to consult with those who were apostles. I returned to the city of Damascus," which is the place he was on the road to when he met with Christ. 3 years later, he says in verse 18, "I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter. I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. And I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the province of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches in Christ that are Judea didn't know me personally." So he goes off to Jerusalem for 3 years to meet with Peter, the de facto leader of disciples, and James, the brother of Jesus. And he visits with these, hangs out with them for 2 weeks, and they compare stories. of what it's like to transmit the gospel to different types of people. And he tells them about the troubles he's had trying to tell people about his past and how he wasn't that person anymore. Can you imagine what it was like turning up? Imagine if Paul walked in the lobby here, Saul, who you knew so well, as the one who was going around persecuting you all. The one who was making you feel bad for following Jesus. The one who was making you feel bad for gathering at Advent and singing songs. Can you imagine if that kind of person came here? What would your attitude be? Would you treat him like Scrooge? We don't need you, your misery here. We don't need you being the miser. We don't need you being mean. Don't be mean to people. He says, the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. That's a good point right here. Those who did know Saul, Paul, knew that there'd been a transformation in his life. They knew that something had happened that they couldn't quite put their finger on. And Paul says, I had a moment when I met Jesus. I had a moment that I realized that I wasn't my past anymore. I had a moment when I realized that Christ was more to me than my zeal to persecute other Christians, to persecute people and be condoned for it. He says, I met with the risen Christ in Damascus, and other people knew that I was meeting with Christ. And I realized that the child that had been born in Bethlehem, the child that had been born and grown up and crucified on the cross on the death machine of the day and resurrected, actually met with me and transformed my life. And I now celebrate the Mass of Christ, the celebration of Christ, the Christmas. That's why we call it Christmas, the Mass of Christ, the great celebration. I now realize that for myself. And he spent most of his life going around telling everybody else, I'm not my Christmas past anymore. I'm not the past anymore. Something massive has happened in my life. And I now, not only do I tell people about this, I preach it, I propone it, and I tell others that, hey, you should follow this way too. Paul has had a conversion. Paul not only had a conversion, but he also completed the faith that he was so adamantly and vehemently proponing. Verse 23 and 24 are the ones really for me. All they knew, this is the Galatians. Paul's talking to the church in Galatia. All they knew was that people were saying the one who used to persecute, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. They now knew that. The churches in Galatia knew that. They says, oh, we know you personally now. We see a transformation in your life. We see something massive that has happened. And we now know that you're not your Christmas past anymore. We now know that the Mass of Christ has transformed you and you are celebrating Christ with us. Here, have a seat at the table and eat some figgy pudding with us. That's how much a transformation had gone on in Saul's life. Maybe you have a memory. Maybe you have a memory of your Christmas past. Maybe you have a memory and you just can't shake it. Maybe it's somebody that you lost. Maybe it's something that you said, something mean, something that wasn't really a true reflection of yourself. And if Paul would say anything to you today, he would say, you are not your Christmas past. The ghost of Christmas past said to Scrooge, you don't have to be that miserable old man anymore. You don't have to be that mean man that makes everyone feel bad about taking a day off. You don't have to be that man in the counting house, counting his money and worried about nothing else and has no emotions around the Christmas time. He would say, you are not your Christmas past. And the final verse of our scripture today is the most joyous one. The final verse in our passage says what? We're going to say this together, in fact. We're going to say this together because what they realized was that Saul, who was persecuting all his life, the people of the way, had a massive transformation. And they now realize this. And what did they do because of his transformation? Let's say it together. And they praise God because of me. They didn't praise me. They didn't look at my portfolio. They didn't check out my social media profile. They praised God, the same God that we praise today. And when we see a transformation in other people's lives, when we see that they're not the Christmas past anymore, we rejoice, amen? We rejoice and we say, praise God, I'm so glad you see the same Jesus that I do. And we rejoice and we're reveling in the fact that actually something massive has happened in this life. In fact, let's change your name because you're not that person anymore. We rejoice. And we rejoice that God has redeemed Scrooge's past. And God has redeemed your past too. The main challenge today is that you don't live in your Christmas past. You don't live in the past that you're embarrassed about, that you're shamed about, that you keep thinking about every year that date comes around, December 4th, whenever it is. You are not your Christmas past anymore. And when we realize that, in and amongst ourselves, we rejoice and we say, wow, we praise God because you're not that person anymore. Amen? Something we do as believers, as people who follow the way, is we remember the past. We remember the past when Christ actually sat in the upper room. He sat in the upper room and they just finished the Passover. They just finished the celebration, the annual celebration of the angel of death going over. It was in the past. But they celebrated that they had been set free. And after the supper was over, after the Passover supper was over, everyone's staring and looking at each other, all right, what are we doing now? And Jesus, all of a sudden, picks up a plain old piece of bread and said, by the way, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he passed it around each of his disciples. There was men and women there, and all of them were gathered together and looking at each other like, what the heck is going on here? He says, the past is gone. The past is gone now. I want you to remember this moment. The Passover is gone. This is the new ceremony. And after the bread was taken amongst them and they were trying to figure out what was going on, he took the cup. It was a communal cup of wine. And he passed it around each of them and said, drink this. This is my blood poured out for you and is a symbol of the new. A symbol of the new covenant. Drink this in remembrance of me. And they passed it around. And at this table, and this place where we celebrate the sacrament of communion, everybody can forget their past, amen? Everybody can forget what's gone before, and we celebrate Christ dwelling in and amongst us. And we look forward to a future, a better version of myself, a better version of the Church of Jesus Christ, a better version of church in Palm Harbor. And we give God all the glory. God, we give you the glory today. We thank you that you are a God of transformation. We thank you, Lord, that you want to dwell in us. And we ask, Lord, now that your Holy Spirit fill these elements of bread and juice that we've got before us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us here, gathered here, afresh and anew, that we forget our past and move on to a life in you. Lord, we ask that in and amongst this time together, in and amongst at the table where everybody is welcome, where all can know the presence and grace of Jesus Christ, we ask that we would leave here knowing that our past is in the past. We ask this of you today, Lord, in the precious and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.